Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Bet, that's 27b, and we are two lines down from the top at the bolded word at the beginning of the line that says Matnita, the Mishnah. And so we are starting a new Mishnah. We've been discussing the sanctity and sale of holy objects such as Torahs and synagogues. And we're going to continue with two Mishnahs on this page about permissibility of selling synagogues. Even though the Mishnah doesn't specify a synagogue here, it's clear in context that that's what it means. It says, Ein mochrin et shel rabim, you may not sell a synagogue that belongs to the public. As we described, synagogues, especially in cities, belong to the davening public that attends them. So Ein mochrin et shel rabim, you may not sell a synagogue that belongs to the public, liyachid, to an individual, mipnei shemoridin oto mikdushato, because you are taking it down from its level of sanctity. There's a higher level of sanctity in a synagogue of the rabim, the public, than there is in a synagogue of the yachid, the individual. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion, the words of Rabbi Meir. Amrulo, the sages say back to Rabbi Meir, Im Kain, if it's true what you're saying, so they disagree with him, Af lo me'ir gdola li'ir ktana. If what you're saying is true, that you may not reduce the sanctity of a synagogue at all, then you wouldn't even be able to sell the synagogue of a large city to a small city. And the presumption there is that both the rabbis and Rabbi Meir agree, which they do, that the law is that you may sell a synagogue of a large city to a small city. That also reduces its sanctity, and yet it's permitted. So the sages would argue that such a thing is permitted, and they therefore disagree with Rabbi Meir and believe that you can sell the synagogue of the public to an individual. And we did have a case, a couple dafim earlier on Chavav Amudet, where we did discuss an idea of a synagogue being sold to an individual. And we mentioned there also a dispute between the rabbis and the sages, Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, about whether or not the trustees of the city, the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir, could sell a synagogue to an individual. And this is related to that, but we see that it did happen. So it seems like we hold like the sages and not Rabbi Meir. The Gemara discusses this. Shapir ka'amrile rabbanan l'Rabbi Meir. I'm at the six lines down where it says Gemara. So Shapir means well or good. Ka'amrile rabbanan, did the rabbi say to Rabbi Meir? In other words, the rabbi's objection to Rabbi Meir is a sound one. They're right. Their logic sounds very good. V'Rabbi Meir me'ir Gidola le'ir ktana. So Rabbi Meir is going to explain when, in the case of selling the synagogue of a large city to a small city, me'ikara kadisha, in the beginning it was holy, hashtanami kadisha, and now it's still holy. It's true that there was a diminution of the holiness from a large synagogue to a smaller, from a large city to a small city, but they're still both holy. However, says Rabbi Meir, may rabim liyachid leka kedusha, from a synagogue of the public to a synagogue of an individual, leka, there is not kedusha, any holiness at all. In other words, you're going from holiness to no holiness. So Rabbi Meir seems to indicate that there's no sanctity at all in an individual synagogue. It appears that the rabbis disagree with that premise as well and would argue that there is some holiness in a private synagogue, and even if it's less, they don't have a problem with a diminution from a higher level of sanctity to a lower level of sanctity, which even Rabbi Meir may not have a problem with, except that he thinks there's no kedusha here at all. V'rabanan, but the rabbis, i'ika lemechash, if there was to be concerned about the diminution of kedusha going from higher level of holiness to lower level of holiness, ki hai gavna nami ika lemechash, then in this case one would also have to worry. That is the case of going selling the synagogue of a large city to a small city. Why? Mishum, because of this verse, birov am hadrat melech, that the glory of the king is expressed when many people are there. So the glory of the king is expressed better in a synagogue of a large city when there are more people there than a synagogue of a small city when there are fewer people there. We've used this verse as well to talk about why it's preferable to have a Megillah reading with the whole shul altogether, because of Barova Mahadras Melech. There's a greater expression of Hashem saving the Jewish people in a larger setting when there are more people there. Okay, the next Mishnah records a second machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Here we had a machloket about whether or not you could sell a public synagogue to a private individual. And here we continue with another dispute about selling synagogues. Rabbi Meir says in the Mishnah, Ein mochrin beit ha-kneset, ela al-tnai. You may not sell a shul unless you sell it as a conditional sale. She'im yirtzu, that if the members of that synagogue or that town want to later on after the sale, yachziruhu, they may repurchase it. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. In other words, the sale is conditional, it's never final. You cannot create a final sale for a synagogue, it's just not allowed. V'chachamim omrim, but the sages say, mochrin oto mimkar olam, you may sell it as a perpetual, that is undoable sale. So the rabbis allow you to sell a synagogue, whereas to Rabbi Meir, on some level, you can never really sell it. You can only sell it conditionally. However, the sages do add one caveat, chutz, except for me'arba dvarim. There are four things that you cannot sell a synagogue that it can be used for. La merchatz, to be used as a bathhouse. Vila burski, and as a merchatz is a place of nakedness. A burski is a tannery. It's a very bad smelling place. Litvila, for immersion, ulebet hamayim, and as a house of water. Rashi brings two explanations of house of water. One of them is deleted in some versions. The version that's deleted says that it's a laundry place, and the other one he says is a bathroom, a place where people urinate. So those four cases, because they are a certain kind of disrespect that this used to be a synagogue and now it's a latrine, those four things are limited. And as we've seen earlier, the rabbis hold that once a synagogue is sold, the actual synagogue itself no longer has sanctity. The sanctity still inheres in the money. So once the proceeds of the sale of the synagogue have to be used to buy something of holier value or potentially of the same value, but the synagogue itself no longer has that sanctity. Now we have an intermediate position, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mochrino ta l'shem chatzer. If you sell the synagogue so that as a courtyard, as a place that has an undetermined usage, once it's sold as a chatzer, as a courtyard, va'alokeach, then the buyer, masha yirtze yaseh, can do whatever he wants to do, meaning it appears as if even these four things, meaning if the buyer purchases it as a chatzer, as a courtyard, and then later on decides he wants to turn it into a latrine, that would be his decision, as long as he didn't purchase it with the intention of doing that with it. That's what it seems to be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay, we continue on in the Gemara. The Gemara has a particular problem with Rabbi Meir's idea that the sale of the synagogue is conditional. And here's his problem. Ula Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, Hechi Dairi Bei, how can they live in it? Here it means use it. How can the people who bought the synagogue use it for whatever personal purposes they're using it for? What's the problem? Ha Havyalei Ribit. This sounds like interest, which is impermissible. You're not allowed to get interest from another Jew. So what is the interest? The interest is as follows. They sell the synagogue to a family. The family lives in there for, let's say, a year. And then the members of the synagogue decide that they want to retract the sale and take the synagogue over. And since that was written in the contract, they're allowed to do it. So the synagogue returns all the money to the family that bought it and takes over the synagogue again. However, and the family is required to do that because it was a conditional sale. However, the family during the year in which they lived in the synagogue got all sorts of benefit. They lived there. They got the benefit of living there. And that benefit, in addition to receiving all of their money in return, is kind of like interest. They got all their money back, plus they got all the benefit of living there for a year. So it's ribit, and it's not the structure of the sale is no good because it creates a situation where the family is essentially charging the synagogue interest. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan answers this problem. Rabbi Meir b'shitat Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is holding like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Amra. That's what he says. The Amar, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, tzad echad beribit mutar, that when there is interest being charged to a fellow Jew, that is only done on tzad echad, on one side, as opposed to two sides, it's permitted. That seems to be what it means by one side here is, and this is how Rashi seems to explain it as well, is that it is interest out of safek. you don't really know if the interest will be charged. Meaning, if they sell this shul to the family and the family never, and then they never decide to undo the sale, there will never be any interest. It's only if the synagogue goes back and repurchases or undoes the purchase of the synagogue that the rebate happens. So the tzad echad means only one of the two possibilities in the future leads to rebate. So it's not definite rebate, it's only conditional rebate. And in that situation, Rabbi Meir would hold that it is permitted. Ditanya, as we learned in a braita, we're going to have a similar situation of conditional rebate, conditional interest. Haresha haya noshe b'chavero mane. There was a certain person who was noshe, he was a creditor to his friend for a mana, let's call it $100, a certain portion of money. So his friend owed him $100. So we're going to say B, Mr. B, owed Mr. A $100. V'asalo sadehu mecher, and he made him the sale of a field during the time that he owed him the money. In other words, B owes A $100, and A wants his money. But B is not ready to repay him yet. So he, in order to appease him, he sells him a field that will become his field. Now, the way it works with the field is, in a situation where he defaults on the loan, where he never pays the $100 back, what he's basically saying is, you'll get the field. The field is kind of like a collateral for the loan. So if I don't pay you the $100 back, which you're hocking me to pay you back, you'll get this field. So the field sort of conditionally belongs to the creditor. Bizman shem mocher ochel peirot mutar. So the guy who owes the money, Mr. B, he's allowed to eat the fruits from that field because the field doesn't really belong to Mr. A, it's just being held in collateral for Mr. A. Lokeach ochel peirot, but if Mr. A eats the fruits from the field, asur, it's forbidden. Why? Because then Mr. B is going to give $100 back to Mr. A. He'll repay the loan. And in addition to that, Mr. A also got to eat fruits from the field. Those extra fruits constitute an interest payment that is impermissible. However, it's only on one side, because if he defaults on the loan, then the field will become Mr. A's, and all the fruits that he ate actually belong to him. It's only if he repays the loan and he also gets to eat the fruits that he is in violation of interest. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo lokeach ochel peirot mutar. But Rabbi Yehuda says, even the guy can eat those peirot, because since it's only on one side that there's ribit, if he eats the fruits, it's only ribit b'tzad echad, and Rabbi Yehuda says that's okay, and Rabbi Meir holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is why you're allowed to sell a synagogue in a conditional sale. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda goes on to describe an actual situation in which this happened. Ma'ase bebaitus ben zunein, there was a certain guy, Baitus ben Zunein, Sha'asa Sadeu Mecher, and he made he put up his field for sale in this sort of collateral way. Alpi Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah, according to the rabbinic guidance of Rebbe Lazar, Vilokeach Ochel Peirot, and the purchaser ate some of the fruits, which we saw as a problem potentially of impermissible interest. Haya Amrulo Misham Raya, he said to him, from here you have a proof. Mocher Ochel Peirot Haya. It was the seller who ate the fruits, v'lo lokeach, and not the buyer. My b'nayu, what's the difference between them? Tzad echad b'ribit ika b'nayu. The difference between the two people arguing in this case is whether or not they think that that interest that is only possible but not definite is permissible or not permissible. Mar savar tzad echad b'ribit mutar. One holds that that if the interest is not definite, it's permitted to set up the sale so that it might happen. Umar savar tzarechad biribit asur, and one holds that if you set it up so there is a possibility of interest, it's forbidden. That's the first opinion. So up till now, we've been describing the conditional sale of a synagogue and saying that Rabbi Meir holds like one opinion here, which is that tzad echad biribit is mutar. Rava sees it in a slightly different way, in this case that we were dealing with of Baitus ben Zonin. Rava Amar, Dukule Alma Tzad Echad Beribit Asur. Not so fast. Everybody holds that you may not set up a sale so that it creates the possibility of impermissible interest. Everybody agrees with that. We have seen that that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like this. But in this particular case, of the Baitus Ben Zona, and it seems like he's arguing that both of the people in that case agree that the possible interest is forbidden. V'hacha, so here in this case, ribit al minat lahachzir ika b'nayu. The real issue is interest that is created in a conditional sale of return. Meaning when he sells a synagogue to these people with a clause in it that at any time they want to, they can reverse the sale, that sets up the possibility of interest because there is a condition, there's a return conditional clause that they can rebuy it anytime they want to. And that's what the machloket is here. Mar savar ribit al minat lahachzir, that in a situation where the ribit can be caused because of the conditional return of the property, mutar, it's permitted. And that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Umar savar asar, and the other one holds that it is forbidden. So depending on how you structure it, what is the issue of the impermissible interest? Is it because it's a doubtful circumstance in the future, or is it because of the conditional clause? Those two may be somewhat related to each other, but that is how, those are the two ways that the Gemara articulated it. In fact, the matter is, we don't hold like Rabbi Meir. We agree with the sages as halacha that a synagogue may be sold even without that conditional clause. We'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.